Thank you so much for listening to us here on Radio Pulpit. My name is Jenna Lee Belong, and let me tell you, I'm blessed because I've been telling you guys, we've got the woman herself with us today here on Elevated. She's a dynamic South African gospel artist whose musical journey is a testament to devotion and community upliftment. Born the cherished daughter of the revered pastor Clement Koma, Nunki's ministry began in Sunday school, can you believe it? And she flourished as she accompanied her father on preaching tours. Imagine that anointing upon her, captivating audiences with a soulful voice before his sermons. We're gonna get into it. I told you a little bit about her earlier, but now it's my privilege to welcome to the program Nunki Koma. Thank you so much, beautiful woman of God, for joining us.
Good morning. Am I excited or am I excited to be here? Thank you so much for having me.
Clearly you are excited to be here, and we're so excited to have you here and to really talk a little bit about beyond the stage, right? Beyond who you are just on the stage and on the music. And I want to take it back all the way to Sunday school. What was it like growing up with this powerful man of God as your father, having to share a ministry and a stage with him, so to speak, from a very young age?
Look, I will forever be grateful for those moments back then. You know, as a pastor, if you got born into a pastoral family and you can at least hold a note of twinkle, twinkle, little star, the next place you find yourself is in the choir, is in the worship team. So that's how it like literally started. And I am so grateful for those small beginnings, because even though at that age, I didn't think becoming a recording artist, I was just doing it well. First, being pushed because my parents, you know, were pushing me to it. But there was destiny being formed, in not knowing it, but destiny was, like, I think the Lord was just directing my destiny. And that was the path that he had for me. So I'll forever be grateful, really, Janan, because when they discovered that there was a gift upon my life, they took it upon themselves. And I mean, my mom and my dad as pastors, that they are going to nurture it. And I will forever be grateful for it. Yeah, they're not really, was not always key, you know, because as a little child, when they call you to come, always come sing. And by the way, my mom was like the jukebox, because she would go like, you are going to sing the song. You know, she was like the DJ, rather. You're going to sing this song, whether you liked it or not. But yeah, that's where it started, and I'll forever, forever, forever be grateful for it.
But let's talk a little bit more about developing that gift, because your parents identified it and they kind of nudged you in the right direction. But how was the gift developed?
So as you already alluded, my dad is a pastor, and when they discovered that there is something about her, is he would literally tag me along. But that's not how it started. In fact, let me backtrack. We are four girls at home, right? And I'm the second born. So when we started back then, there was not like a lot of big sound and stuff. So we would travel with my dad as three girls, three of us. And my big sister, just by her being the firstborn, she would be the lead singer and we would be her little backup singers. And she would be the one that is holding the microphone, not necessarily because the gift was there, but birthright.
Yes.
Birthright. So we would just be backing her. But eventually, my parents were like, birthright or not, the gift is here. Oh. The gift is here. And my dad would then take me along. And I think I was around the age, you're talking 7, 8. He started taking me along and he would call me to sing before he would minister the word. And that's where I actually got exposed, you know, to be in front of crowds, because he would be invited to big churches and he would always say, I'm going to call my daughter to come and sing before I minister. Like, he did it without fail. He did it without fail. And that was also besides it being my development phase, it was also a sense of covering because I did it under his covering as well. So the gift was also developed under a covering. And when he started, when he was called to start the church, guess what the next place for me was? In the choir, the worship team. And that's where I know without a doubt that that's where my gift was developed and honed. And eventually, after years, I cannot separate my gift from my dad's ministry. Even now, I still travel with him, by the way. Still travel with him. There's never a day where I feel I'm too big now. I can't. I still travel with him. I still sit under his ministry. I've been serving in our church for over 15 years now in the music ministry, and that was development. It's still continuing as part of my growth. I hope I answered the question.
Very beautifully, very, very beautifully. And we'll get back to the church in a moment, because I think that the church plays such a vital role in nurturing our gifts and talents. And sometimes we underestimate that. But I want you to park that for a moment, because listening to you, I can hear that your gift, your voice has always been a very big part of who you are and how people perceive you. Do you ever struggle perhaps with people seeing you beyond the gift? Like who Nunki is beyond just her voice, that she's somebody beyond the singing.
I'm a woman of, I do a lot of different things. And part of it is that I'm a real estate agent. So I try, to say to people, I'm not just one dimensional. And yet at the same time, I don't downplay the fact that there will be people that will just love Nunki as a singer. And that's okay. That's okay with it. I'm not gonna force myself down the throat of people to say, no, you can't just see me as a singer, but I don't allow that to confine me. I think the most important thing is not allow it to confine me. It's a tool that the Lord is using, but before I am a singer, I am somebody. But first of all, before even this is my identity personally, before I'm everything else, I'm a child of God. And I think that has also just stabilized me. That's also anchored me to say, look, I'm going to say it as it is. Any industry has got seasons. There are ups, there are downs. And if you are going to allow yourself only to be defined by this thing, you are up when it's up. You are down when it's down. But my stance and how I would want people to always perceive me is first, I'm a child of God. That's my identity. And we can get that, then I'm okay. And you can love me as a singer, you can love me as, but if I can be anchored in this, then there is no confusion of identity for me.
Let's talk about people or who are gifted. A lot of people who are singers, gospel singers, they struggle with the notion of doing something outside of singing to generate income. You spoke of the fact that you are in real estate now, for instance. Some gospel artists feel like, no, they want to make a living through their gift, and they will push and push until they feel like they've reached their point. And even if they never do, they believe that that is the way. I can sing, and it means that I need to become this big, very famous singer, and I'm going to be very rich through that. What would you say to a young Nunki who's maybe listening or watching today, and she says, I'm struggling here, I've got a gift, and I'm not sure if I can do any other job?
My advice to them, I've always been a corporate girl. I've always been so with me, and this is what I always tell myself as a person is that this gift, and I don't have a problem with those that are saying this is all that I'm going to do, but for me, I'm like, I can't use this as a source of income because, like I said, there are seasons. It's up, it is down, and I would say for me, doing other things, it's a way of supporting this that the Lord has given me. I tell my colleagues, even at where I work now in real estate, that this is also to support the gift that the Lord has given unto me. So I would say to them, yes, do pray about it, but I would highly, highly advise that do, especially in the economic, the way things are economically, you need to find something that will be an income generator so that you don't find yourself sacrificing the call of God and the gift of God upon your life in the name of I want money. I don't want to find my place myself in places that would bring me in very uncomfortable situation in the name of I want money. I want. So I said to God, I want something that will generate an income so that I can support the gift that is upon my life. So that I don't sacrifice this gift on altars or places that promise big bucks, that you find yourself doing the pushing because I need to make it work. I need to make this thing work. So whatever stage that comes and brings money, I'm gonna grab it. Whatever opportunity comes, I'm gonna grab it. I'm gonna grab it because the need for money is real. The need for generating income is real, but I don't want this gift to be sacrificed on altars that will give me bucks to get by. Let me rather get something that will be a support to this gift that the Lord has given me.
Beautiful, Nunki. We're going to be playing your recent single, My All, now in a moment. We listen to Abel. That's your second single that you released in December 2023 earlier. But I want to just take it back to the church for a moment. I was saying to you that the church plays such a vital role in developing our gifts and our talents, you know, and just pouring out that anointing upon us. And not just for singers, by the way, not just for musicians, even as business women, whether it's for the corporate world, entrepreneurship, whatever it might be, the church plays that role, but I don't think everybody gets it. Your thoughts on that, Nunki?
It's so true. We look, I am so grateful that the upbringing that I that my upbringing created that environment for me to understand that I can't, like, the only way for me to make it in life is when I have put God at the center. And the church community is a place, it's a place or an environment that the Lord allows us to flourish, that the Lord allows us. I spoke about covering as well. The church community, you know, it's a place that allows us to flourish under a covering, you know, because I think there's a saying that says, you know, people that serve make better leaders. You know, when you serve, you make a better leader. As a musician, you were mentioning as a business person, I think church is one of the places that teaches us to serve so that we can lead better. So if you want to lead better, find a place to serve. And church is it's just an environment. For me, I found it's an environment that allowed me to serve in order for me to become a better leader. I think that I learned just by serving in church. You talk about youth ministry, you talk about the music ministry, and leadership skills are leadership skills. And if church can develop that skill, you can use them anyway. So I think that church is just a place that is an opportunity for us to develop those skills, whether in business and whatever. Like you are saying, we downplay it, but that's the order that the Lord has created. And if we follow his order, we are bound to flourish.
Listen, we are talking to the beautiful, vibrant Nunki Khoma, and we've still got quite a lot to unpack, to be honest with you. I still want to talk with her about generating generational wealth, building generational wealth as a property practitioner. Just tap into some of those words of wisdom, pockets of wisdom that she has as well. But I want to play your new single titled My All. And I see, Nunki, it is a song of surrender. Oh, it's beautiful. One can really hear it when you listen to it. As we're about to play it, just briefly, what are you hoping that every listener will get from My All?
from her. So, as I've mentioned, I don't know if I mentioned this. I've been singing for almost 20 years now, and this is my first recording. I've never released anything, and the cry of my heart was, Lord, the lyrics of the song that we're about to listen says, I give my all to you, the most holy God. No one else can have it. No one else deserves it but you. And as I've mentioned, this is a debut of that launched me, as a recording artist. It was very important to me that I do it from a place of total surrender unto the Lord. And that whatever concerns my gift, I don't yield to the gift, but I yield to the giver. So I am hoping that as it is my debut, the people that listen to it said, in everything that we do, especially in these days, may we come to a place where we don't surrender to the little gods or to those things that try to make themselves gods over us. You talk about titles, you talk about our workplaces, you talk, may we forever be reminded that our lives only belong to this holy God, the all holy God. So that is what I'm hoping that people will really get as the song ministers to them.
Nunki, what a beautiful, beautiful song. And I just want to ask you gave us the testimony behind it, the intention, the vision behind it so beautifully. I want to ask you whether you would take us back to a time where you were in a total place of surrender and what that moment meant to you.
Look, all the three songs that I've released, they are actually a testament, and I'm going to give a short testimony. It's when we were pregnant with my son, like with our son, who is actually our firstborn. As a pastor's kid who served and loved the Lord all her life, got married, and this is the first, like my first child. To cut the long story short. The pregnancy went very well, but towards delivery, it was discovered that, well, after he was born, it was discovered that my son had kidney problems, and from birth, and I think that was one of the most devastating season of my life. Both my son's kidneys were not functioning. And at that time, you would want to, when a doctor gives you that kind of report, you get so overwhelmed. You get so overwhelmed that you don't know what to do. My parents, who are pastors at that time, could not help me. All we could do was to pray and just trust God. And it was in that moment that I knew that I needed to surrender. This, I'm not going to get help from the doctors. I'm not going to get help from the past my parents who are pastors. My help is in the Lord. And it was in that moment, because sometimes we think we only surrender when you've done something wrong. But here was a situation that I had to surrender unto the Lord to say, if you don't do it, I can't help this boy. All I can do is to surrender the situation to you. And God did exceedingly abundantly above what we could ask or think, because we surrendered the situation to Him. When I say I give you my all, that means my possessions, that means the children that you've trusted me with. I surrender them to you. And there's another song that says Abel. So that's what I'm saying. All these songs, they are actually interconnected. When I've surrendered everything unto the Lord, that's all Abel. God did a wondrous miracle for me. I mean, doctors were telling me, slightest infection, this boy is out. But I had to surrender to God. I had to be yielded to His word. And that's the
Wow.
word that I spoke over my son. The boy is 6 years old
Glory to
today.
God. Glory to God.
The boy is 6 years old. The boy is, I think, one of the strongest you could see. And every day I see him, I'm like, this is what surrendering to God can do.
Oh, I'm listening to you and I'm seeing a mother listening to our conversation right now who might still be where you were 6 years ago, still in that place of pain, confusion. She's tired, she's drained, she's, perhaps maybe feeling like she's losing all her hope, whether it's medical challenges or perhaps a child born with special needs, and she's a single mother carrying it all on her own. Your testimony will be an encouragement, but I also just want you to take a moment to speak to that mother directly and to encourage her, mother to mother, daughter of God, daughter to God.
Yes. I want to say to that mother, we the pain that you're carrying is real, and we acknowledge that it is there. You see, surrendering to God does not mean we are not acknowledging that what you are going through is real. We are saying, all I'm saying is at that moment when I was going through it, I was like, Lord, I see the report. I hear the report. And in the realm of where if I use my own mind, my own strength, my own, I will crack. So I am taking this report that is as real as it is, as I'm looking at it. I am lifting it up unto you. I am speaking your report over it. And the Lord had to carry me through. My boy had to undergo surgery. He had to undergo an operation. But even then, I had to keep on speaking the word over him. While I acknowledge doctors and the wisdom that God has given them, life belongs to God.
Amen.
And life belongs to God. But not only life, but strength also comes from God. And my prayer is that allow the Lord, whom the Bible says we have a high priest
Yeah.
who understands. We have a high priest. He's not standing aloof. He understands. And he comforts us from a place of understanding, from a place of love. Draw your strength from him. It won't make mental sense. Sometimes it won't make sense to the mind, but that's why we walk by faith and not by senses, because our senses and feelings will fail us. We draw strength from this God. It won't make sense. Sometimes just sit. I mean, I had to, at that time, I could not even read the Bible. All I did was just to listen to the word, because what you put in your season of pain also determines how you will be like the other side of the
Come
pain.
on, come on.
It's not only about that moment, but the outcome. How are you going? Because, like David says, even though I walk through, you are walking through. So how are you going to arrive the other side of the stone? Because I can tell you now, there is the other side of the stone. But you don't want to get to the other side of your victory and you are a mess and you are because of what you were feeding yourself, what you were listening to. So I'm saying, allow the Lord to be the source of your strength. Allow the Lord to embrace you in that season of pain. There is the other side of the storm.
Nuki, you know what I find incredible? Among all of this, amidst all of what you are doing, you still find time. Everything that you've been through, everything that you are responsible for, you find time to help the next generation navigate the complexities of property ownership, because you are passionate about teaching them to build generational wealth. Why is that so important to you?
Look, the truth is, and I always say this, the truth is, lack opens the door for the enemy. to take advantage of us. And I will tell, maybe just to back up, when I started in real estate, it was just after COVID. It's a long testimony. I'm going to try to shorten it. It was after COVID. And like I'm saying, my parents are pastors of our church, and I helped them in ministry as well. And COVID, I could see my dad did not need to tell me, to say the finances of the church have been affected. I did not even have to go, look at the financial books, of the church. You could just see, because COVID affected everybody. And I said to God, you are going to have to give me something to do with my hands that will help me, or that will enable me to help this man in ministry. And you know what? That very month, I went to Keller Williams. That's where I am right now. I knocked on that door and I said to my principal, I want to work here. And she said, you want to work here? I'm like, yes. And she said to me, do you have experience in real estate? And I'm like, no, I don't have it, but train me on anything. I will get it. To cut the long story short, Chinen, I started that same day. 2 days after, did my first listing. The same day, the property got sold. And my first commission, I said to God, now that you've given me this, I'm going to take my entire commission as my first fruit to the church. I took the entire commission. And look, we score big in real estate. I can tell you that now. I took the entire commission and I said, this is a seed. I am called to advance the gospel of Jesus Christ and to help the church that I serve to advance the gospel of Jesus Christ. So when you've got wealth, you are able to help even in the church. You are able, not only in the church, you are able to take care of the needy because you have. How do I take care of the needy when I'm needy myself?
Come on.
And I think real estate, also not just creation of generational wealth. When I walked into it and I said to God, you're going to have to use me to help our fellow Black people to own property. That's one of my mandates. Because it's, look, let me not even try and get into politics. That's my mandate, to help our fellow Black people, to own property. Because it is possible. So I am called for such. I help them navigate. It's so sad to see people lose deals or transaction of a house or a dream property that they want over technical things. So I walk with them to say, hey, you need to watch out for this. You need to watch out for this. People lose money because they don't have estate agents that have got that heart to guide them through it. So that's, look, I'm a Joshua of the real estate.
Come on, come on with it. I love it. The Joshua of the real estate. We're talking to Nunki Khoma. And Nunki, I want you to promise me that you're going to come back and we have a conversation just about property ownership. I think that is,
Please.
let's do that as soon as possible because I think that there's so many pitfalls that perhaps we don't even know about that can help us because we need to leave something for our children's children. Let's do it, my sister. We're gonna do it. We're gonna do it. But for now, we've run out of time, completely over time. Nunki, you are a blessing. Your ministry, your voice, you are a blessing. And I believe that God will continue to use you mightily. If somebody wants to follow you, they want to get hold of you, how do they do that?
So I'm on social media platforms. Thank you so much for having me. I'm coming back very soon. Nunki, Nunki Goma, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, Nunki Goma. Those are the three places where I am. I'm active. You'll see my ministry, where I get to sing, where I get to minister, what's happening, and you also, yes, even for bookings. I love singing. Another That's another thing, and I really love it. I really, really love it. Even my principal in Keller Williams, she knows. I said to her, "You had better pray to God that he'd never says to me choose between real estate and music, because it will be a problem. It will be a very big problem." But I'm on those social media platforms, follow and see what the Lord is doing. And yes, do invite me. I would love, 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 love to minister, whether it's your church conference, your shows, whatever. I love doing it to the glory of the Lord.
Well, glory to God. Please go and follow Nunki Koma. I feel like we are already connected in the spirit, and I know that you listening right now, you feel it as well. So reach out to Nunki, and remember, all her music, including My All, is available for streaming on all social media. No, all digital streaming platforms on all
Digital
streaming.
platform. Yes, please.
We gotta get with it. Go and stream My All by Nunki Koma. God bless you, my sister. We'll talk again soon.
Thank you so much for having me, and thank you to all the listeners. I love you, and God richly bless you.